Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. God, open our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that the words of Scripture that we hear this day may become your word that empowers our lives in this time and place. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 9 through 14. Let's listen to God's word. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had been crippled for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things being done by him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I am a member of one of those generations that has that questionable habit of mindlessly scrolling my phone. I'm sure there are plenty of downsides, but one of the upsides is the diversity of people I have to learn from right from my fingertips. People who teach me the kinds of things that I might sound wise for saying later. One account that pops up in my feed pretty often is that of a woman named Miriam. As she says in her intro on every video she posts, Miriam is an Orthodox Jewish woman who tells what her life is like. Her posts often talk about how she and her husband parent their children, or what it's like to participate in Jewish rituals and religious observance, and the ways that being Jewish impacts her work as a labor and delivery nurse. She often fields questions from her followers, like this one from a couple of months ago. On the Sabbath, could you use your phone in an emergency? The person asking the question had been around the account long enough to know that Miriam, her husband, and her daughters, along with many other observant Orthodox Jewish people, don't use phones or turn electricity on or off or drive in cars on Shabbos or on the Sabbath. These are part of their modern applications of the ancient laws around what is and isn't permissible on the day that God set aside for creation to rest. In the video answering this question, though, Miriam pointed out that certainly if there is a medical emergency, an Orthodox Jewish person could call 911, or if needed, they could drive someone to the hospital or have someone else drive them, because as she says, we live by the laws, not die by them. It's a pretty similar way to how Jesus answered the challenge of the synagogue leader who critiqued the woman who has come to the synagogue on the day when Jesus was teaching the Sabbath. On first hearing, this might sound like a completely reasonable thing for her to do, for anyone to do. Sabbath observance is extremely important in the Jewish faith tradition. It's important to Jesus and to those who share his spiritual lineage. We even heard the prophet Isaiah this morning talking about the importance of Sabbath and giving a warning against trampling it by pursuing one's own interests rather than, we can assume, God's interests. But the woman's presence at the synagogue may have been more extraordinary than ordinary. As preaching professor Jared Alcantara points out, she had a chronic disability in a time and place when a significant percentage of religious people associated her disability with God's judgment. The woman also faced challenges on account of living in a patriarchal society. At the risk of oversimplifying the matter, she lived in a society in which the voices, needs, and rights of men were usually privileged, and the voices, needs, and rights of women were usually ignored. Women were not permitted, he continues, inside the sanctuary of the synagogue at that time, so Jesus had to seek her out and break with custom. According to New Testament commentator James R. Edwards, people with physical deformities were expected to remain socially invisible, especially if they were women. Women rarely, if ever, approached rabbis, nor did rabbis, as a rule, speak to women. And so, knowing it is against the custom, the expectations, maybe even the rules of her synagogue leader, she made a conscious choice to break through the barriers and show up. And for what? It's interesting that this story, one we would probably quickly categorize as a healing, it doesn't actually use the word healing in it anywhere at all. Instead, Luke talks about a spirit that had crippled the woman, or Satan who has bound her. She's depicted not as someone whose body is not working the way we might think it should, but as someone who is being held back, constrained, restricted. The woman's condition is not just crippling her body, it crippled her life. It held her bound to her home, or at least away from this particular building at the center of religious life. It held her back from her community and from living her faith. what she could do, where she could go, and even how far she could literally see was restricted by a spirit that would not let her live free. So her presence that day at the synagogue was beyond the expectations of the synagogue leader. And Jesus' effort to seek her out, to first see her, then call her over, and then to even touch her, felt well beyond the boundaries set around the Sabbath, the physical space of the synagogue, and the religious community and life as a whole. In fact, maybe what Jesus said and what he did pointed out that a binding spirit could also hold the religious leaders, not just the woman, religious communities, and how they interpret and live their faith. In deciding who was acceptable and who wasn't in their community, it was bound from welcoming all people. By dictating who could be seen and included and who could not, they were held back from their fullness. In addition to the woman who was bound by her body, the faith community itself was bound. It was being kept from being all it could be, all God designed for it, all that God designed it for. The Sabbath setting of this story is significant. Of course, it is the focus of the rhetorical tussle Jesus finds himself in with the synagogue leader. It's what makes this story about more than just physical restoration for the woman. But instead, it makes this story about liberation. Because Sabbath itself is about liberation. It's about freedom from the economic system of daily work. It interrupts that endless cycle of get up, go to work, then sleep, get up, go to work, then sleep. There are 6 days, the synagogue leader even points out, on which work ought to be done. But on the seventh, God places this great intrusion on our economic order. On the seventh, we should be reminded that creation is durable. It is fruitful. It is abundant enough that we can rest. On Sabbath, we are freed from trying to produce, trying to hit metrics, trying to make our own way in the world, and instead we are reliant upon God. On Sabbath, we are set free. On that day, even more than any other, we are liberated to rest in God's love and pursue God's interests. Food for the hungry from the abundance of all that God provides. Satisfaction of the needs of the afflicted who are bound unduly by custom and circumstance. In response to the synagogue's leader's rebuke of the woman for seeking a cure on the Sabbath, Jesus points out that a person observing the Sabbath would untie a bound ox or donkey to make sure that it had the water it needed for life. Using an argument style familiar to the rabbis, how much more, he essentially asks, should we treat this woman to life? She who has been bound for 18 years. Toe-to-toe, rabbi-to-rabbi, Jesus intervenes on the woman's behalf and presents an interpretation of his own, drawing attention back to the idea that liberation, removing that which binds people and communities, is the whole point of Sabbath. We live by the laws, not die by them. Friends, what binds us? What holds us back? What feels like a holy law, but instead is keeping us from life, our own life, and the life God desires that we live in this community, that we live as a community of faith? What spirits are keeping us from looking up to see the world around us as Jesus sees it, worthy, welcome, and free? Maybe we're bound by feelings that we don't belong or measure up. Maybe we are bound by worries that we don't have enough to share with others. Maybe we're bound by the fear that there is too much to do, or by the exhaustion that comes with trying to keep up. Maybe we are bound by guilt that we have been a part of creating the problems that Jesus wants to fix. And what about our church? Are we bound? Are we bound by looking backward to some glory days of generations past? Are we held back, holding on to 20th century understandings of what the church should look like, what the church should be, an organization that exists for the benefit of its members with big programs and big busy classrooms? Are we restrained by rules of politeness that attempt to silence us from speaking up about gospel values, the values that hungry people should be fed? People with needs in body, mind, and spirit should be tended to. Homes that are crumbling should be rebuilt for those who need them, not just those who can afford them. Foundations like education and healthcare should be strengthened and affirmed. Whatever it is that holds us back, whatever spirit binds us, Jesus has more power than it. This is the good news for us today. Jesus lays his liberating hands upon us and frees us from our feelings of inadequacy, our worries about scarcity, our fear of the enormity of the task, our guilt for our place in it, our exhaustion from just looking at what is needed in the world. Jesus speaks to us the same words he spoke to the woman at the synagogue. Daughter of Abraham, be set free. It's a promise, not just about her past and her ties to her ancestors of old, but also about her future. In this naming, Jesus fully includes this woman in the community, not because she's healed, remember that word is never said, but because she is set free from anything and anyone who kept her out before. He fully includes her in the covenant God made with Abraham that he and his descendants are blessed to be a blessing. This woman isn't bound by the restrictions placed on her from someone beyond her, but instead she is free to embody God's blessing and to be God's blessing in the world. Children of Abraham, God has set us free as well. Jesus unbinds us from our own expectations, from slavery to arbitrary metrics. Jesus sees us. Jesus loves us. Jesus frees us, stands us up straight so that we can see beyond what has held us back from serving his purposes in the creation around us. He frees us to see beyond this property we think of as our own, serving only our own interests. Jesus calls us the children of Abraham and draws us into God's covenant so that we will see ourselves as he sees us. We will know ourselves to be blessed, to be a blessing. In him, we are set free from all that binds us. Our own insecurities, outside forces that impose their values on us, the systems that try to control and exploit us. We are set free from looking down and looking back. We are set free from trying to look perfect instead of look outward. We are liberated from the practices of the past that held us inside instead of calling us out, that focused our attention on building structures rather than building God's kingdom. We are set free from feeling we aren't good enough, we don't have enough, we can't do enough, because we have been liberated from anyone's expectations but God's alone. And God sees us. God calls us. And God lifts us up for God's purposes. We will be called repairers of the breach, restorers of streets to live in. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.